Hello and welcome to Research the North, the UNBC Research Ambassador podcast, and we are back finally. I know it's been a long time we've been gone, but here we are again, and we're going to get started with a brand new episode for you. And today we're going to be talking about the tricky subject of getting finances for research. In the studio today, I'm joined by Amy Beyer and Bethany Hafner, and these are two people that have helped me personally in the past, so I know they're good at what they do, and they're going to talk to us a bit about the sorts of, we're going to ask some questions about funding and how to get funding and all sorts of funding related questions. So we'll start with you, Amy. Tell us a bit about yourself to get started.
So I started at UMBC 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. I've been with the Office of Research for the past 2 years. I'm a UMBC alumni, and I graduated 2007, so a long time ago now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right. So tell us a bit about what you do in your position.
So I'm the Graduate Enrollment and Scholarship Advisor. So part of my job is advising prospective students on their application to UMBC and navigating that process. And then the other half of my job is helping students navigate funding and research funding and major scholarships and awards through the federal government and other organizations, including the UMBC Research Office.
Yeah, and that's where my experience with you came in, because she helped me with an application to the SSHRC during the job action, and that actually turned out well, so thank you for that.
No worries.
All right. And Bethany, your turn. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Great. Well, thank you for having me on the show. I work in the Awards and Financial Aid Unit in the Registrar's Office, and my official title is Financial Aid and Awards Administrator. And I came to UMBC way back when, before the campus actually was here.
Oh,
so
wow.
I've been here a very long time and had a lot of different experiences. Started off as university receptionist, and now I am in the Office of the Registrar dealing with awards. So I show students some money, so that's a wonderful job to have.
Oh, yeah. And Bethany's also helped me out on several occasions. So, you know, she's definitely a good person to know. And all right, so we have a list of questions I'm going to run us through today. So here's a good one. This one's more for Bethany. What awards are available to an undergraduate student in Canada or a graduate student in Canada? It's a bit of a broad question.
Yeah, no, there's lots of different awards that are available, and some are through UNBC, and some, of course, are external to UNBC. And so undergraduate students and graduate students can always take part 2 times every year at UMBC in applying for UMBC awards. We have our main annual UMBC award competition, which runs October 15th to March 1st every year. And these are for awards that get awarded the following September and January semesters. So it's important to apply early for admission, number one, if you're not already an in-program student, so that you can have access to use the online award applications. And so this competition that runs October 15th to March 1st, that's our main one. And then we have another small fall competition that runs September 15th to October 14th for any awards that weren't taken up over the summer from that main competition, and for any newly created awards that we can disperse that September and January. So 2 times a year should apply through UNBC. That goes for students who are like in grade 12 and they're planning on coming to UNBC for the next year. They would apply for admission first off that fall. And then I say always over Christmas break is a good time for all students to maybe do those online award applications so that they're not rushed for the March 1st deadline.
Yeah, you got a little more time during that period too. And it struck me as almost astonishing that like for when the application for awards that didn't get accepted, like a lot of people don't realize that there's money left on the table and you should really apply to, you know, because from my understanding, the donors, when they donate the money, they like to see it get used, right?
They do. They do. And a lot of UMBC awards are actually also through tuition waivers that the university supplies and funding that the university supplies for students. And so we actually have less awards that are given or that aren't given out at UMBC. It is actually, I think, less than 1%. Maybe at other institutions it's a lot higher. But if you don't apply and you don't do those online award applications, we can't consider you. And we try and match up students if they do those online award applications to any awards we can that they're eligible for. So at a bare basic, they should be doing those online award applications 2 times a year so that we can try and find something for them. Also, it's important when they're doing the online award applications to ensure that if they want to be considered for as many awards as possible, they need to read the award descriptions and look under the eligibility and the criteria. Sometimes there might be additional documents that need to be supplied. So if they don't supply those additional documents, then that might make them ineligible for some of the awards that they could qualify for had they, you know, supplied some reference letters or supplied proof of belonging to a certain organization or union or other types of documentation.
All right. Well, basically, if you don't play, you can't win.
That's right. That's right. And then, of course, there's other external awards that students can apply for on our website at www.unbc.ca/financial-aid. You can scroll down and there's a column for non-UNBC awards. And there's lots of good search engines for other external awards that students can look on their own time for.
All right.
Plus, we also keep a little news tab where I try and highlight any upcoming external awards and internal awards that have deadlines that are fast approaching.
Oh, right on. That's good information to know. I hope you all wrote that down. All right. Let's move this right along. All right, what's another good one? Try and get one that includes the both of you. This one might fit. So other than scholarships and grants and awards, are there other ways to get funding for research or even as an undergraduate student looking to pay their tuition or anything like that?
Well, with the Office of Research, you know, some of our awards are called awards, but they're actually awards that include work or include a research project.
Okay.
So you're not just applying for a scholarship and then getting money. You're applying for an award that involves a research project and funding to that project. Or you're applying to an award like our undergraduate student research award, which is run through NSERC, which is a work term for students in the natural sciences and engineering.
Okay.
So it's called an award. It looks great on a resume, but it's actually 16 weeks of paid research work and experience over a semester.
All right. Is that similar to the undergraduate research experience award that's given out every once in a while?
Yeah. So the undergraduate research experience award is through UMBC. It's very similar, except for it's for a smaller amount of time.
Okay.
So while the USRA can be done over a summer and you have to commit 35 hours a week, the URE can be done over a semester where you're still taking classes and you're doing far less work per week. I think it's 100 hours over the semester.
Yeah, it wasn't that big. I did it 2 years ago, and it was a nice little chunk of change, and it gave me some good experience to, you know, wet my beak with research and, you know, what it looks like in the lab and what to expect, right?
So. Exactly. And it's just a chance to show that you're applying on stuff, show that you're being successful, and then get that experience.
Yeah. You get the nifty little poster when you're done, too.
Yeah. I also think, like, money can be something that students don't want to talk about outside of scholarships. It's really easy to submit a scholarship application and then just send it away and never think about it again. But getting funding for research really involves getting engaged with the research community, talking to the research ambassadors to find out about opportunities, expressing your interest with supervisors early that you want to be involved. Some supervisors can provide students with a stipend for work if it's available.
Oh, nice.
But if they don't know that you're interested, it's not something that's posted. It might not be something that is readily available. And I know the research ambassadors are doing work to post now. So it's online and you can search for research opportunities on the research website. But sometimes it's about being engaged and talking and finding the right people and finding the right fit and just getting out in the research community.
So networking and making your connections and, you know, exercising communication skills with people that are of like mind and have access.
Exactly.
Right on.
Yeah.
Bethany, did you have anything to add to that question?
No, I think Amy's covered it really well. And, all right. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be engaged with faculty and to get that experience. I just highly recommend it. There's nothing like it, being able to work together and glean that experience from our faculty members.
Right on. Let me see here. What sort of advice would you give someone who is struggling to get into research due to a lack of funding on their own end and, you know, maybe a lack of understanding of how to get the funding or anything like that?
I think the big thing is to come and talk to either Bethany or I, probably both of us. I think a lot of students don't have some of the knowledge on hand about what eligibility criteria are there. I think with our website and the awards that I deal with, there's different eligibility criteria. So there's different GPAs for different awards. There are different experience that students need. So a student might think they're disqualified or that they don't fit, but there might be something out there for them, and opportunities lead to other opportunities. I mean, so once you apply for one thing, it gets you out there and it starts getting more. I'm always happy to help students if they give me the time to help them. You know, coming and talking to people early and letting us explore options is great, but coming to us like the day before a deadline is really problematic.
Yeah, that's I can't relate to that idea at all. but yeah, you're exactly right. Like, I would have not known about the Canadian Graduate Scholarship if I didn't talk to my professor about it, or my supervisor now, actually. And you know, he helped me get started on that. And the story between me and Amy is, during the job action, I was applying for the Canadian Graduate Scholarship, and things were kind of hung up because the government couldn't get in touch with the university at the time. So Amy stepped up to bat and made sure people were aware on the government end that I had sent in my application on time, because I couldn't really do anything. And there was a whole bunch of stuff that was making it so it was really hard for people's applications to get in. So, yes, Amy will step up to bat for you.
Yeah, I basically, during the job action, had passed all my work to my boss, which I think is kind of nice. He now knows what I do. But when we got back, it was, I think, the strike ended the day the CGSM deadline had passed. So it was the same day that award deadline had come. So it was a bit of a rush to finalize everything. And the government and the Tri-Council were really, really understanding of the situation, and I know they tried their best to include everybody that they could. So I think it's all about just putting it out there and doing what you can, yeah.
You also got to know, like, who you can go to for help in a situation like that, too, because I wasn't sure at all until I, like, you know, emailed a couple people. They're like, oh, no, you need to go talk to Amy. She'll get looking into this.
Exactly, yeah.
All right.
And I think, you know, for awards here at UMBC, I think there's a misconception there that if you don't have a high GPA, don't apply because you won't get anything. And that's just not the case. UMBC actually, on our last annual report that we did to the Senate Committee on Scholarship and Bursaries, we have about $3 million of funding. Oh, and wow. That's through UMBC donors, that's through UMBC general. And so if you don't have a really high GPA, still apply. Still put in these online award applications every year. If you don't get anything, still apply, because you never know who's applying within each competition. You don't know how things have changed. We usually do things based on either an admission GPA, if you're just entering UMBC for the first time, or we do it on an annual GPA from the past year's marks. So you never know if you will get a scholarship, which is usually based on your grades. But there's also a place on our online award application where if you want to be considered for anything that has a financial need component, you give us some information about your income and your assets. And don't worry, it's not scary information that we're asking for. It's just very, you know, give us your guess of what you think you're going to be getting for an income during this study period, and, you know, how much savings you think you'll have. And then we can try and do something with that. We can try and match you up to some bursaries or some awards that have a financial need component. And nowadays, in the award community, a lot more donors and different awards and scholarships, bursaries, are created based on financial need, because everybody is realizing the significant financial challenges that are out there for students. So don't let your GPA dissuade you from applying for UNBC awards or for any other type of external award.
No, you just got to do your best, right? Like,
that's right,
yeah. All anybody can expect from you is to do your best, so don't feel bad. Speaking from my own experience, I came to UNBC as an undergraduate, as a mature student as well, and I was very fortunate to find funding that was, you know, set aside for mature entry students.
That's right, yeah, yeah. We have actually a couple of unique awards. One is the UMBC Mature Student Award, and the other is the UMBC Transfer Student Award. And these are awards that we can automatically give mature students and UMBC Transfer students if they're transferring more than, I believe it's 30 credit hours of coursework, and they have a GPA of 3.47 or greater. So there definitely are some awards that people are automatically considered for. And we also have what's called the UMBC International Student Award,
okay,
which is another one for international students who are coming to UMBC who we automatically consider international students for.
Oh, wow. You guys are getting right to questions before I even ask them now. On the topic of international students, is there, for anybody that's coming into Canada from abroad to study and they want to apply for research funding, is there any extra steps they need to worry about, or is there considerations that need to be made before they apply, or?
I don't think that there's extra considerations, except for, you know, there might be a lot of government funding that's not available to them.
Okay.
So we try our best, to highlight the funding that is available. International students are eligible for all UMBC research awards, that we put out, and we've actually started a specific award for international students at the undergrad level.
All right. That's
very similar to the USRA work award that, or the USRA award that provides work experience, because I know that's another struggle for international students, is also finding that job and finding that experience. So this year we've started the International Student Research Award, which can students can hold over the summer, and they can find a research work position, and
right on. All right, let's take a look here.
And maybe I'll just speak up for international awards, because I think a lot of times for international students coming for awards, a lot of UMBC awards do say a preference will be given to a resident of Northern BC or must be a resident of Northern BC. But there are a whole host of UMBC awards that are open to all students.
Mm-hmm.
So on our website at www.umbc.ca/financial-aid, if you scroll down under UMBC awards, there's a column there, and there is a spreadsheet that we put up there that shows all the different awards that are either targeted specifically to international students, and that's undergraduate and graduate, or that are open to all students. So there's a host of different categories of awards that international students can apply for, but again, the trick to that is making sure that they know that they need to first apply for admission to UNBC early, and usually that means in the fall prior to the fall that they want to come in, and then make sure that they are able to apply to that main competition between October 15th and March 1st.
Hmm. Yeah, sounds like basically you got something for everyone.
We do. We
Perfect.
Do, definitely. We try and give out as many awards and make it go as far as we can, because we want students to be successful here at UMBC.
Oh,
we want
course.
To support them, and our donors are fantastic. They are so giving, and, you know, there is so much out there for our students to try and get to help them with their financial need.
Oh, yeah. I know in my experience I've had a couple awards I wasn't expecting, you know, just to I think it was the Roger Sugars Award that snuck up on me, and I was like, where the heck did this come from? And they're like, oh, you should write them a thank you letter. And I was like, you know, that minute sat down, I was like, gee, thanks for their, you know, supporting my education and my family.
You know? Exactly. And, you know, the donors just so appreciate the donor thank you letters that students provide. I can't say enough about how our students just, they're just so thankful. And, you know, our donors love receiving that feedback and having that connection with our students.
Right on. Do you have any advice for paying off student loans?
So really, you can't avoid it. The best advice I can give is don't be scared of it. Learn about it. The National Student Loan Service Center, Canada Student Loan Program has great repayment options. And as long as you're staying connected with them, communicating with them, there are a host of options available for repayment of student loans. So don't be scared of it. There's a webinar that they have that's really educational. It is not live, so while you can ask questions, you can sign up for this webinar and go on at your leisure. You know, you can have a group of students, friends around a laptop and all view it at the same time. Or whenever you have a moment, you can log in and sign up for one and see what repayment is going to be like. You don't have to wait until you're there. You can look at it even before you decide if you want to apply for a student loan, what the repayment situation could be like. So if you want that information, then, you know, you can send us an email at awards@umbc.ca and we can give you a link to that webinar.
Yeah, the people at the student loans are very reasonable to deal with. My last semester of my undergraduate year, I had a bit of a scheduling snafu that kind of resulted in my funding getting withheld because I forgot to change my status to part-time for the second semester. Well, I actually went to you for help with that, Bethany, and when I phoned them up, they were very helpful, and they're like, oh, okay, we see what's going on, so we'll, you need to, you know, do this and this and this, and then you should have your money by, it wasn't even like 2 weeks later.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. You know, student loans, it's always a little scary for people because that's usually for a lot of students coming to UMBC for the first time, their first sort of experience with taking out a loan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the whole government student loan program is made so that it's as easy as possible. Of course, if they're under 21 years of age, then they have to have their parents co-sign. But the loan still is the student. So the student's still responsible for taking that on and for repayment.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of different things that they can be considered for. There's the loan itself, which is repayable, but there's lots of different grants that are non-repayable. And when you apply for a full-time student loan, you have to do so every year that you want one. Usually the student loan application opens for BC anyways early June. And I say, you know, apply between mid-June and mid-July if you want things in place for September startup. Yeah. That's the best way to do it.
Did you have any pointers or tips for students you wanted to share? Like,
I was just going to say I would love to talk about pointers and tips for applications.
Oh, please do that.
So, because one of my least favorite things is having a student be ineligible for an award, and not because they're actually ineligible, but because they missed something or they didn't include something or we couldn't tell if they met a requirement because there was a document that wasn't included.
Oh.
And so my biggest thing is just be organized, know your deadlines, and read the instructions. Those right there are going to get you at least into the competition. If you're going to go through the effort of filling out a scholarship application or award application, it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
You often want people to read it for you and check it over. You need to get references. So if you're going to do all that work, start with reading the instructions. Make sure that you have everything organized. And then my second big thing is just to say, go beyond the application. Look into the organizations that is giving away the money. What are they interested in? What is their mandate? Do they have award criteria? If the scholarship is 50% on academic excellence in your grades and 50% on the your research project, spend about 50% of your application talking about your academic excellence. Spend the other 50% of your application talking about the research project. Divide it evenly so you're talking about all things because, as we talked about, a GPA, if your GPA is only 50% of consideration of the application, you can work to make up that other half.
Oh, I see.
Improving yourself in other ways. And so if you know, and if you've looked into the awards and you know what this organization is about and what they want to promote and why they want to give away the money, it's really going to help you have a better understanding of when you're writing your scholarship of application and who you're aiming it to. So just dig a little deeper beyond getting the application, printing it out, and filling it out is one of the big things I can say. So the Tri-Council, NSERC, comes to campus in the fall, so okay. you can actually meet their scholarship officers. CIHR, which is for health research, they do a webinar. So they're not, unfortunately not on campus, but they do a webinar. And I think Shirk's the only one that you can email them, but they're the only one that doesn't come directly up here. But
okay.
but yeah, so you can make those connections and talk and find out what they're looking for.
Nice. Yeah. That's good stuff to know. Bethany, do you have any tips and tricks and pointers for the students?
Yeah, I agree with Amy. You know, knowing what may be needed to be supplied in addition is a big thing. For us, a lot of time we have reference letters that are required. And a lot of times what happens is a student will try and email them in. And unfortunately, we can't accept them that way. If they're emailed to us at awards@umbc.ca, then they have to come directly from the referee. So that always happens every year where, you know, maybe the student tries to email them, or maybe the student is hoping that the referee will have enough time to email them, and they haven't maybe given the referee enough time to do that. So give your referees lots of time. You know, I always like it when reference letters are one page in length. That's a good standard to have. And, of course, the referees that you want to have are those people either who you have taken classes from, or who is a high school counselor maybe, or somebody who you volunteered with or worked with in the community that can speak to your leadership and your community involvement. So, you know, it's good to have, I'd say, between 2 and 3 reference letters at least for each competition. And we can keep that information on file for 1 year. And then for the next main competition, you'd want to supply new information. So, the other thing that I was going to mention is with regards to, what was it now? There are a number of different types of opportunities that are listed on our website. So if you go to the website and you look at the left-hand menu under undergraduate awards or graduate awards, we'll list any UMBC ones that are specific. Like we have some that are specific to prestigious awards for graduate students who are entering UMBC for the first time. And like Amy said, that there are some of those that require, you know, well, does your research fall within sort of UMBC's mandated areas of research? So if it does, well, then it opens those awards up a little bit more to you being a recipient for one. Right. So, you know, have a look at that. You know, it's great if you can target your research that you're doing to something that UMBC is sort of promoting.
It sounds like really good advice all around. So if students were looking for either of you to ask you a question, what would be the best way to reach either of you? Amy.
They can email me directly at amy.beyer@umbc.ca. I'm also located in the Office of Graduate Programs in Building 3, room 1051, and I'm happy to receive drop-ins and people just come and pop by. Also, if you're looking for scholarship opportunities on the Office of Research website, anything that is through me, I will put my contact information down below. I'm the one in the Office of Research that primarily deals with students' awards. I'm not the only one, but primarily. So if you see my name attached to something, you know, maybe you should check it out.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. And Bethany, where can we track you down?
So if you want to email me, it's best to email awards@umbc.ca, awards@umbc.ca. It's a generic box that both my coordinator and I have access to. So it's always great to go there just in case one of us is away or out of the office for a minute. Or you can stop by the registrar's office and see me. Just ask for Bethany in awards and financial aid. And we're just always happy to help students at any phase of the process. So come in and see us.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for coming in today. It was really nice to have you in and share your advice.
Thanks, Patrick. Nice to talk about it, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's all we have time for today. I hope you enjoyed our guest speakers. It's always lovely to talk to them. Be sure to get in touch with them if you need anything through the information they provided on the podcast. And if you have any ideas for a show you'd like to see, you can email us at researchambassadors@unbc.ca. So we will be coming back for our next show, which will be talking about mental health, and that'll be coming up in March. So thank you again for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode.